Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Today we have with us Kent. Kent, we're so excited to have you join us.
Well, thank you, Tanya. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to meet you, Dr. K.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really excited to kind of hear some of the stuff that you've gone through, and also I'm curious, we chatted a little bit about some of the legislative aspects, which I think some of the listeners would be really interested in as well. But first, I'd love to hear a little bit how you're a military man, and how you got into the world of Lyme. What happened?
Well, it started a lot when I was a young child. We did a lot of tent camping in Northeast Iowa, which is very similar to the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. Our kids were born about 2 hours west of the Hudson Valley, so I'm very familiar with it. So we did a lot of tent camping, and I was just eaten alive by ticks all the time. So I know I probably got infected originally with Lyme disease when we came back from a vacation to Florida, when Disney World first opened up. I'm that old. I'll be 60 in March. Because I had a really high fever, and back then it was just making kids sweat it up. And then later on, I would get ringing in the ears, tooth pain. I had massive swelling of the brain after running in track because I got too much oxygen in my brain. Later on, we figured out that was the Herx. But anyway, then I got infected other times as a young adult. In the military, just out with my lifestyle. I was very active in the outdoors. Former All-American high school football player. I ran half marathons after high school. I was always active. And then finally, we moved to upstate New York, Rome, New York, and where my wife was stationed as an officer in the Air Force. She was a nurse. I was Army Reserves at that time. We lived out in a very swampy area over by Sylvan Beach, which just north of Syracuse, and we had a bunch of fleas get in the house. And it was there were three, four townhouses, and the owners of the property lived underneath. And the neighbor right next to us, her mom lived down this road about a mile south, right by the Erie Canal, right beside it. And her mom had chronic fatigue syndrome. And then this gal came down with chronic fatigue syndrome. And then all of a sudden, I came down with chronic fatigue syndrome. That was a Bartonella exposure. That was not Lyme disease. I don't think I caught any Lyme disease in New York. I do know I caught Bartonella. Luckily, I had a doctor of osteopath at the Air Force Base and a female doctors, which is where I lucked out. I had a lot of good luck on my end with the medical side of this. I will say that I was very fortunate, but I'm just good at speaking to people. That's why I continue to advocate. I think that was also one benefit I had over your typical Lyme patient. And she walked me through it. And after about 9 months, I finally was not on the bed for 20 hours a day.
So it was that bad, your fatigue, that you're laid out for like 20 hours.
Bone crushed. And you're talking to a guy that ran 4 miles in 20 minutes, the last day I exercised before I ended up on the couch. I literally ran a 20-minute 4-mile run.
Right. Wow. Before you ended up on the couch. So
it's hard to explain to somebody that hasn't been through Lyme what our level of fatigue is. Not exhaustion. It's not, you know what I mean? It's really hard to describe it.
It attacked my thymus gland really bad. That's what the DO figured out. So she had me do 60 seconds or 30 seconds of ice cold water, 30 seconds of hot cold water, as many times as I could after a nice shower to stimulate my thymus. And honestly, I think that's the only thing that got me out of it. But anyway, I recovered from that. I got very athletic again. I'd say it, but 12 months later, I was built like an ox. I mean, I always rebound very quickly that way. And then 10 years later, well, I had noticed then, because we had our firstborn child when we were 30, that I had a tendency then to blow up at people. And then afterwards, in the middle of it, I really, you know, I know that I feel this way, but this is background noise type thought. You know, so I was coming, a Lyme rage was hitting me. I think what happens when I got exposed to Bartonella that time, the Lyme that I had had for quite a while was also coming on. And I also had Epstein-Barr virus, which 95% of the population has. So I think that had been stimulated when I got the Bartonella infection. So then let's fast forward 10 years later. We got, after going overseas, being in Turkey and being stationed in a war zone, we left there after two years, and we got back to the United States, lived in the Omaha area, bought a house just over on the Iowa side in what's called the Les Hills, and they have a lot of ticks. And about 5-6 weeks after we bought the house, we went out mushroom hunting. And then my oldest daughter and I went up in the hills, and we came back with seed ticks on us. And now, all of a sudden, I lose 60 pounds in 4 months. Right. And that was the thing. Both times that I got very sick, I was obese. You know, it was the heaviest time in my life. And so now I've got that mental connection. If I'm not in the gym, there's literally no physiological reason for me to gain weight, because that would mean I'm gaining fat. So I will allow myself to shrink, but keep an eye on my fat percentages. So anyway, then I ended up, it just kept getting worse and worse. And our oldest daughter started to have menses at the age of 8, and she started having issues. And then by that September, 2 weeks after 9/11, I woke up with complete glove paralysis, and I had severe environmental illness. I mean, I just horribly sick. And of course, the two Air Force doctors were young and, pardon my French, but cocky, overconfident. It's all up here. And they gave me SSRIs. And my wife kept telling me, the nurse, she was in charge of the emergency room and surgical technician education plan for the Air Force worldwide. So you wouldn't become either one of the Air Force unless she signed it after you went through her class. She kept talking to the wing commander, the doctor, and he kept saying, get him in to see me. But you know how the brain is when you're that sick. I had environmental illness, extreme environmental illness, life-threatening environmental illness, and mold toxicity issues. We figured that out about a year and a half later. I finally got in to see him, but then they had misdiagnosed me with not only somatization of illness, but possible MS, possible Lou Gehrig's. You know, I was a big mystery to him. I finally got in to see the wing commander, and I said, my wife had signed paperwork to leave the Air Force. She had a guaranteed contract to go 20 years. They could not fire her. She had to volunteer to get out, so she did. And she's going to get a big severance check. And I finally saw the wing commander, and he said to me, I believe that you're right and that these two doctors have been playing with you. Everything that you brought to them makes complete sense to me. I do believe you have Lyme disease, systemic candidosis, or both. All right, so I went to see Dr. Christ. He doesn't mind if I bring up his name in Missouri. He's in Ashland, Missouri now. And he diagnosed me with them, you know, very quickly. I did get the test. I was off the charts on the Western blot. And I came back to the wing commander. By then, my wife couldn't reverse the paperwork. We had to give up her career. And he looked at me and says, Kent, here's what we're going to do. Number one, those two doctors, well, they both got kicked out of the Air Force. One lost his medical practice license. And he said, whatever prescriptions, call your doctor, tell him to estimate what he's going to give you over the next year and tell him to be very broad. And they handed over to me 1 year's worth of antibiotics and antifungals, et cetera, for treatment. He says, I'm paying for that out of our hospital budget because you should have never got this sick.
Wow.
So it then... I was because of my mold toxicity issues, the Les Hills, which is the Missouri River on the western part of Iowa, is its former deep ash from tens of thousands of years ago that got pushed up. And so there's all kinds of mold there. And we found out by accident that I was very allergic to that geographic area. When we moved back here to home for familial support, because I had such a dire diagnosis, my body would rest and I wouldn't have such harsh reactions to external exposures. And it took us quite a while, but we had to go through almost over 200 homes to find a home that I could actually be in. We found it. What we didn't know was it had hidden black mold in it.
So how did you, when you kind of went from building to building, seeing that this, I can be in this one, not that one, I mean, how did you determine that?
I honestly, when I was healthy enough where I still had sensitivities, local realtors would have me walk through homes for them. Because I just literally, I'd open up the front door and I could almost instantly tell if there was mold exposure. And I was that sensitive.
Oh. Wow.
I could taste things that you placed in the back of my neck. My nervous system was so haywire. Literally, if you put something on the floor, I'd put my foot on it. This is going to sound really crazy. But I could taste it through my foot.
Oh.
Wow.
I was so screwed up. I also found out that I had triple radical subluxation of the top three vertebrae. And a Dr. Sweet, a chiropractor, had invented a very specific table to work on the top two vertebrae. And I just so happened through business to run into a student of his that practiced his form of Atlas Chiropractic. And he told me, he says, "Can't." I took your x-rays. I sent them to Dr. Sweet. He said that I was the worst case he'd ever seen, but you now trump me. And I would get exposed to molds, and I would just drive to Dr. Blay's office as fast as I could. He was about 45 minutes away. And when I would get hit by mold, it would make the nerves at the base of my skull here along the atlas and all the cranial nerves swell up so bad that when he got me on the table, he said, "Kent, I have," and I knew this about Mark. He says, "I hate allopathic medicine. They almost killed me when I lived in New Jersey." He said, "But I'm telling you, you have an acute problem here. You're the only person I've ever told in all my career to go see a doctor. You need to have something," because he said the nerves coming out of the base of my skull from my neck felt like braided rope. And he says, "I've never, ever had this sensation on anybody's neck that was palpable. This is the craziest thing." So when people talk about, and he agreed with me, I equate, when you talk about having a slipped disc, that feeling in that joint and that nerve gets hurt, and they say, you have no idea how bad that hurts. I literally had that on every glove nerve that's in the body. There was 4 days of my life before we moved back to where we are now that I was planning on my death. And it's because everything that floated in the air made my body feel like it was getting hit by burning embers. Everything I breathed, everything was that bad. And the house that we bought when we were in Omaha area, she was an arachnophobic. We found out after I got so sick that she had that house sprayed by 4 different pesticides companies at the maximum dose available by law. And they all knew about it, but they still continued to go to her house because she was paying their bills.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I had chemical, I had mold, I had Bartonella, I had Lyme, I had Ehrlichiosis, EBV, candidosis, all that to me. So
you can't mess around, you just get them all. You go all in.
Yeah. When they misdiagnose you with like Lou Gehrig's with MS, I mean, can you explain some of the symptoms of the exhaustion and kind of feel like everything in the air is like, you know, hot amber. Yeah. Can you, for people that are out there that they're trying to figure out what relates to Lyme and does not relate to Lyme. So sometimes it's good for them to understand the full picture of what a person is experiencing so that they can kind of relate to, yes, maybe this is what I'm feeling is not separate from Lyme. You know, this is Lyme disease.
Well, I will say this. When I originally got the Bartonella infection where I was so fatigued, I never had that problem again. Okay, I was unique in that. I did have some fatigue, but I couldn't dream. That was one of the early symptoms when we moved in that house out by Omaha, was very soon I wasn't dreaming at all. And I was having a hard time falling asleep. Lots of interrupted thought. I couldn't find my thoughts. I'd be in an intelligible conversation with someone, all of a sudden I'd go blank. And I'm very well articulated, and my wife was like, there's something not right about you. And but I was so busy, my career had taken off. And just to give you an idea, I was so busy, I was promoting credit card, debit card processing, ATM processing to banks. And in 17 months, I got 250 some odd banks involved. So I was driving all over the place. I had a real fast schedule. And I was starting to get snippy, snappy, and very directive of other people, which is not my normal personality. And she's noticed these things. But for me, what was strange in the beginning was I was auditory and light sensations were overwhelming me, and I didn't understand it. I mean, too much sound. We called it TMI after we found out what the diagnosis was, and both our kids had Lyme disease also. Oh gosh, I'm also very unique in that I don't have joint pain. Mm-hmm. Dr. Chris said I'm one of the most unique cases he's ever seen. I was most heavily infected. I was one of the very first ones he's found with mold, because I discussed that I had a polypectomy. That was my left frontal maxillary sinus was loaded with mold, and they didn't know it. That was right that year that I got laid up, about 6 weeks after I got laid up. And they had put me on prednisone to bring down the inflammation. So out steroids when you've got insect-borne illness, one of the worst things you can do. But I'm unique in the fact that I didn't have a lot of the problems that most people with Lyme disease, et cetera, had. I had heavy brain fog, I had 30-second memory for a while, and I ended up having to live in our basement of that house throughout the winter with no heat, totally sealed off from my family because I was reacting to her cooking toast in the toaster upstairs in the kitchen.
Wow.
Anything that produced heat, a lot of people don't realize this. If you have a heat source, it's putting off something from that heat source that is a VOC of some kind. Okay. And it's there. Our bodies are so well attuned, and God gave us great vessels here. Our bodies can withstand a lot of exposure without us noticing it. And as we get sicker and sicker, our body also, our mind, has a tendency to make these things, these annoyances, background noise. So they're snowballing, and you just have no idea how bad they are until, especially if you're like me, a very high tolerance to pain. I was an extreme athlete, and I always functioned at a high level with my brain. I was always able to put that back. I didn't know what was going on. But also, I did have the fibromyalgia type pain a lot of people talk about along the spine. I could say all my nerves coming out of my spine, and like I said, up the top of my neck here, just any movement, it was horrible. Just, oh, it hurt so bad. Just bone chilling to think about how bad that was. But so when I talk to people, I say they have fibromyalgia because that was one of my other misdiagnoses. I've spoken in a lot of fibromyalgia support groups, chronic fatigue support groups, and I look at them and say, you know, I give them, you can't come on too hard, because we all know that once you get a diagnosis, a lot of people psychologically will become attached or married to it. Mm-hmm. And everything else is a challenge to them in their thought process. And you don't want to do that at support groups. You just want to talk through what you've been through. And I will say that 80% of them that listen to me well enough to not take anything that I said personally, but to maybe find answers for themselves, 80% of them found out they had multiple tick-borne illnesses, without a doubt. And that's one of my things, because I retired from the financial services industry. I'm a patterns and numbers guy, and I don't have to think about patterns. I just realize them and I see them. And it's been very consistent with CFIDS groups, fibromyalgia groups. I know there was one study, a psychiatrist out, oh God, I forget her name, pardon me. I haven't talked, I also was formally certified to teach CEUs on this subject by the Iowa Board of Nursing after I helped pass the Iowa Lyme law. And I have no formal education on it. They just were like, you need to teach this. So anyway, one gal went to me, if you can talk to, I have a board of medicine and to go along with you, then I know you can teach this class. there was a group of male alcoholics that were seeing one psychiatrist. I wish I could remember. Like I said, I haven't taught the class for so long. And 80% of them were positive for tick-borne illness, so they got treated for it. And most of them never had a drink again.
So
they didn't have problems.
So, I mean, but this is huge. You know, for you, you have all the alcoholics out there thinking that it's just, you know, their addiction, but it's actually then an infectious agent that is driving their behavior.
Well, yeah, because they're trying to cope.
I mean, that's huge. And I know also, like, you know, for children, I have a number of autistic children as patients, and it's fascinating when you start to treat the Lyme, how their autism gets better. You know, so yeah. It sneaks in so many places that we don't even know about. And then I'm sure with people dealing with, you know, things like manic depressive, bipolar, you know, then you have a huge amount of them as well dealing with tick-borne. So it bleeds into so many categories of medicine that we don't even think about.
Well, when my wife, 2 years after I was diagnosed, I should say 2 years after I became ill and 1 year after my proper diagnosis, my wife came down with stage 3D estrogen positive advanced breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So she was that far from 4-stage breast cancer. And she went through dose dense chemotherapy and radiation. And in a discussion at one of the radiation treatments, the nurses, I don't know, we got on the subject because I was still sick. I was disabled for 6 years. And they said, this is in the blood supply.
Absolutely. I mean, so it should be. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you have people donating and they don't know that they have it, right?
They've got rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm taking something for that. I'm okay. No.
Yeah.
Especially in the endemic areas. And a lot of people don't think Iowa has a lot of Lyme disease. Well, Iowa had a reporting criteria that actually disqualified a lot of positive cases of Lyme disease. It was the most backwards, inside out. I thought the IRS wrote it.
So they didn't recognize Lyme, but if you had Lyme, then you were not able to donate. But you didn't really have Lyme because you couldn't be diagnosed by it.
Right.
You're on to something over there.
Exactly.
Wow. That's crazy.
During the treatment process, you know, I chose a road that was just about everything but the kitchen sink. I believe in allopathic to bring down the infection, support the body, and finish it off with more of a natural. If somebody can do it 100% natural, okay, great. But in 21 years of being an advocate and an educator, I have found that a holistic, meaning whatever works for your body type, your situation, that's what you should use. I'm different than someone else. Someone else is different than me. So I always caution people that if you're saying this way and no other way, you're probably going to be wrong 98% of the time. It's a combination of things. There is a time for allopathic. There is a time for homeopathy. There's a time for naturopathic. There's a time for, you know, whatever. It's having someone like you, Dr. K, that can help them go through that menu, that buffet of treatments, and find out what works best for them. If they may be at a stage in their path where 100% of what they're going to do, you can do at your office and with your guidance. And I have a lot of them say, the depression's so bad I can't take it, but I don't want to get on SSRIs. But I'm like, you know what? Maybe in this one moment right now, you may need that SSRI. It may be for a short span, but you're unique. Your physiology is different than the other person, and your chemical imbalances may be different. Dr. Christ said that I was the Herxheimer beast. He'd never seen anybody go through a Herxheimer and enjoy it. I loved him.
Because you knew something was going on and something was happening.
Well, that plus it 100% reversed my chemical sensitivity when I was having a Herxheimer.
Oh.
I did not in the Herx. It was gone.
So interesting.
So you could be in the kitchen during that time.
Yeah.
In the middle of a field burning leaves, I was fine.
Yeah.
I kid you not. But here's the other thing. It also put me to sleep. I could sleep, and I could be in a dumpster fire, and it would never bother me. And my youngest daughter, who had Bartonella and Lyme, when she was getting proper, we used Rife, we used herbs, we used, you know, allopathic. When she was having a Herxheimer, she'd fall asleep too.
Wow.
So, fascinating.
Right. And I had Babesia too. That was another one. I forgot I had that. But so, you know, our two daughters went through their treatment too. They're doing fine. On the youngest one I just talked about, she's got our two grandkids are upstairs right now. They're having an overnight at our house. Unexpected, but we'll do it. and then my oldest daughter, because I dumped very heavily into natural methods of supporting the body and detoxing the body and wiping things out in that first year, because I had no proper medical diagnosis, that the nurses where my wife works, she's been a nurse for 36 years. They always go, "Hey, I got a question for your husband." but our oldest daughter is now a regional nutritional health counselor for the second largest natural grocery store in the United States. And she says, "Dad, I owe it all to you, because growing up as a kid, when you got so sick, you had to save mom's life because she had the heavy duty cancer. You had to save your life. You had to save our lives. Everything I know, I take from you."
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And our family paid it for a heavy price, because towards the end of that first 6 years, we ended up homeless and bankrupt because all four of us were sick.
Yeah.
And we had a house, $40,000 worth of mold damage, and we didn't have anything.
No.
So a lot of people say, "Hey, man, you're so strong, all this other stuff." And I'm going through this. You just wouldn't understand. I'm like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
One thing about insect-borne illness, when it strikes us so hard, and both of you know this, is it makes us extremely compassionate and understanding people. We're more willing, in my opinion, to sit down and talk to somebody about anything.
We really are. It really does change kind of who we are. It changes our outlook on life too.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm curious. I mean, so you're saying 21 years, and you've been advocating in this arena for a long time. You're doing a lot of legislative actions, but so give me a little bit kind of a flavor of your understanding of in regards to Lyme co-infections. I mean, you said that every person is different. Everyone, you know, some people sometimes allopathic, you know, sometimes this antibiotic, sometimes these natural. If you would kind of describe what a treatment would look like, you know, that you have seen that people have been successful with, doesn't mean that it's the same in every case, but what is kind of an umbrella therapy or different things that you've seen work more often than others?
Well, on the homeopathic end, a good friend of mine, Dr. Shannon White Schlichty down in West Des Moines, she has become one of the major instructors with Des Bio for the homeopathics. And she's developed a very good program, very successful, but she's one of the practitioners I've talked to. She says, "But I also understand it's not the whole thing." You know, and she's bringing on a DO that does functional medicine with her in her office. She's moving. And she called me up to see, is anybody getting prosecuted on the allopathic end? And I said, "No." And she says, "Good. Well, we're going to go forward with it." And I said, "Good, because then you guys can help me with the education program. I'm going to push to the Board of Medicine, and I'm going to shove it down their throats." So, pardon me. In a more nice fashion.
Yeah, no, throat is okay to say in this, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, on the homeopathic end, also UV and ozone blood therapy, I think is an amazing thing. One of the biggest things for me that I have found, I tell a lot of people, is with me, one of the biggest factors for my illness was the teeth. I was heavily infected in here, so I had my amalgams removed, I did chelation. Because my infection, when it would be coming back, I always felt it up in here in my nerves, and I would salivate. And so for me, and I had chronic sinus infections all the time. And when it comes to herbs, I used to use tinctures, a lot of tinctures, cemento, et cetera. I did that for a while. That worked very good for me. Constantly using the charcoal is another one, making sure I had enough NAC, N-acetylcysteine, alpha-lipoic acid, lots of rotating of high-quality probiotics to keep the gut. L-glutamine, because not only does that feed your gut, but it feeds your brain. That's a really important amino acid. Branched chain amino acids, because you have all the nutritional problems. You know, bone broth is really a terrific thing.
And make a comment in regards to rotating the probiotics, because some people may not understand. They buy a probiotic and they stick to it for 5 years. So why did you rotate?
Well, because some will have like Ruteri in it. Other ones will be more acidophilus based. You've got to make sure we have, what, trillions of bacteria in our gut? I think it is.
Yeah, trillions.
And there's so many different strains, and some of them are immune system support. Some of them are nervous system support because they're all symbiotically breaking everything down and helping your body function. So, and keeping you from getting leaky gut. So you got to make sure you have a good rotation of, like VSL3, comes from the pharmaceutical side, but I like that one because it's 225 billion units if you take just two of them. And it's a good blend, but then you'll go over and go to the natural grocery store and you'll find a bottle that may not have as high a dose, but it's a better blend. You know, so like you'll do 1 month of VSL3 and then go to your, you know, health food store and buy a really high-end one, or Ruteri is a good one. A lot of people do that. And so that you're rotating, because if you get too much of a bacteria, even though it's a good bacteria, that makes it a bad bacteria because it's out of balance. And I also, Saccharomyces boulardii, I always take that. In fact, I make sure I take that more often than I do my probiotics.
And that's for the candiditis and the fungus and all of that, yeah.
Yeah, C. diff, you know. That works better than Flagyl on C. diff nowadays. So you want, I talk to people online or in person that have had C. diff issues from antibiotics and they never want to go on antibiotics again. And I'm like, well, aren't you taking Saccharomyces boulardii? And then, well, a little bit, I'm going, well, you should take it all the time and maybe try antibiotics again if that was successful for you. And the only thing that negated was the C. diff. Yeah, and then it makes them think a little bit more. Ah, well, you know, that's the same thing if someone has a Herxheimer from a certain antibiotic, but they think it's an allergic reaction. I know both of you are familiar with that. Or anything. You might take something that's a Herxheimer, but you think it's an allergic reaction. And some of us are just more sensitive. Mm-hmm. So we're going to react in different ways, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I look old when I really look at myself.
You don't look a day over 20. Don't give me that. If you can run 20, yeah, if you can do 4 miles in 20 minutes. I mean, that, right. Yeah, that's good.
You look healthy. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Well, my body fat right now is 12.8% body fat.
Yeah. See, you're doing good. So I apologize for taking a break there with the probiotics. So then you mentioned the L-glutamine, yeah, for the brain and the muscles, also for the gut, and then also its productions of glutamates. I mean, usually people say, well, we don't want glutamates, but a little bit of glutamates is actually good, you know, because we need that for kind of the brain to be a little bit sharper. So what are some of the other things that you found kind of is a good thing?
Well, specifically because a lot of their immune systems are knocked out at, you know, and we're going into a high virus type of season here. Mm-hmm. With the winter coming on, especially the flu hitting everyone at bedtime. And it's ironic how this worked out with COVID for me, because I've been on hydroxychloroquine, I've been on ivermectin, you know, everything they said was bad, and I'm going, you don't know what it does, do you? I make sure that I take flushing niacin every night at bedtime. Now, I do 500 milligrams. A normal person can't withstand that because that's pretty harsh on you. But it knocks me out because niacin relaxes the nervous system. And from having the nervous system get so afflicted by Lyme disease, I understand the value of a relaxed brain. But it also supports with carbohydrates. And since I'm concerned about becoming overweight, it helps with that. And it also, it's a good vasodilator to get blood flow to places that normally wouldn't get it. It's good for your liver, et cetera. But it also helps inhibit viruses. That's what they found out by accident. And when I got COVID, I never got the shot. I had a 99-degree fever for 4 hours. That's all I suffered from. Anyway, and I was working with Amish, so my doctor looked at me and go, what do you do all day? I told her, and she goes, well, go to work. That's and I said, well, I know that's who I caught it from, and they're working. So I went back to work. I don't do it anymore, you know. But anyway, I also make sure I take chelated zinc at night at bedtime, Saccharomyces boulardii at bedtime. I take 50 micrograms of Benadryl or milligrams, I can't remember, but I take a double dose of Benadryl because this Benadryl knocks down the histamine from any food I may have gotten exposed to or some other substance during the day that I may have drank that is causing a histamine reaction, and it lowers that. I take vitamin D3. I can't do K2 because I have factor 5 Leiden, so I can't do that. I also have MTHFR, but I have one or the other version. I can't remember which one. I'm sorry. But that was a problem in the beginning. It's no longer a problem for me now. My oldest daughter has it too. So anyway, alpha-lipoic acid, N-acetylcysteine, Benadryl, Saccharomyces boulardii, flushing niacin. That's what I do at bedtime.
Mm-hmm. And do you combine the Benadryl with like PA or DAO or quercetin or anything like that too?
I used to do a lot of quercetin, and I kind of got off that, but I actually was going to go buy some tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome for reminding you. It was on the list that your wife gave you, but yeah. I'd
well, I had someone the other day on one of the social media posts. I posted my. I was pretty accurate. I went and I looked at it. I posted what I take, and because they were talking about the virus season coming up, and one gal kept insisting on melatonin versus the Benadryl. And then, you know, she hasn't had the experience of too much melatonin and what it can do to the body, but she's very insistent on it. And I said, here's the thing. I'm not looking for that type of reaction or immune support or getting addicted to melatonin or whatever happens, because then you can have problems not falling asleep if you take too much, because that is the general tendency. People take too much as time goes on. It doesn't seem to be as effective. And I honestly ended up blocking her because I didn't want to go back and forth with her anymore, because she was way too stuck on melatonin versus why I was saying take Benadryl. I like Benadryl versus melatonin. If you have severe sleep problems, yeah, melatonin to guide you along, or something else like valerian, etc. Especially for very anxious people, I like valerian. I think that works really well. St. John's Wort. But making sure you're well oxygenated.
Yeah, like with the mast. I mean, a lot of people deal with like the mast cell activation type of scenario. So then, you know, the Benadryl, and then you can add like PEA is a good substance. And then, yeah, DAO, obviously. But then also the peptide KPV, you know, for people out there as well, can be really good to calm down that kind of mast cell activation scenario, which a lot of people, like, you know, what you're dealing with, I mean, you're just reacting to whatever is out there. So those are good little tidbits.
Yeah. You're taking all sorts of amazing things. I know Dr. K has me on quercetin. I know that much. But so, and you know, like you mentioned earlier, and even talking about the girl on Facebook that was arguing with you, you get some people that are pretty passionate about what their thoughts are, but the bottom line is that nobody has the same issues, even though they have Lyme disease. We all have our individual issues, and the same thing may or may not work for someone else. So it's important for people that are listening to know that if somebody is telling you, you know, take SPK, it's going to kill everything, and they're taking it and they're getting sick and they're not noticing anything, quit taking it. You know, I think if you start something, you're a killing regimen, you're going to know within a week if that is going to be a good match for your body and what you have going on. And if it's not, move on to something else. Just because it works for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So,
well, on that, also being realistic about the time frame that you're going to get well in. If you've been sick for 10 years, I've seen people want to leave their Lyme doctor or their naturopath or whoever because they don't feel better in 3 months.
Yeah.
And I have to reason with them. You know, I don't have the emotional investment in getting well anymore like I used to when I was so desperately ill and had 2 young kids at the ages of 7 and 8 and a wife with breast cancer who later on came down with endocrine pancreatic cancer 10 years later. I don't have the emotional investment in it to get so wrapped up in something that I marry it anymore. I sit back and I analyze. That's what I do in these Lyme support groups. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing that 40% pattern where everybody does really good with that type of treatment and they love it. They see good reaction. And I see 20% that is like, you know, I kind of felt it, but I know it's not the whole picture. Then I see that 10 to 20% that it's all, I forget, a placebo effect. You know, and then you got the ones I didn't feel anything. And that usually that pattern flows from each different type of treatment. And then if you can find 1 or 2 or 3 different modalities where you're getting that 40% I talked about, where it's effective, you can get 3 overlaid ones where you get a solid 40% return on what you're doing. That's the magic button. I'm just kind of talking in general here. But I'll see people that they're obviously going downhill, but they're so married to the treatment they're doing that they're going to stick it out for another 6 months. And I'm thinking, you may not have a choice in 6 months because you're so married to what you're doing.
Right.
And the emotional investment. And I didn't mean to talk over you there, Tanya. I
no.
apologize.
No, you're good. You're exactly right. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Because that, I mean, you're right. It's that fine line where do I give it enough time? Yeah, to see if it's going to have an impact on me. And then the other component is, you know, if am I giving it too much time? Yeah, you know, am I now going downhill so much so it's going to be a harder journey for me to kind of dig myself out of the hole? So it is a challenge, you know, but you do need, if you find somebody that has a good track record that has helped people in the past, then you have to kind of lean on them for a bit until you feel that, you know, maybe now it's time to do the next step. And you know, it's probably 3-4 months or something like that to kind of see where you're going.
Well, another thing I find, too, is that people, I say, well, usually if I get on the phone with them or I'm speaking to them in person, I always say, here's the first thing. If you suspect that you have insect-borne illness, I want you to forget 2 words, network and copay. If all you're worried about is your network, is the doctor you're going to go see for this, if they're in your network, and what your copay is going to be, then good luck. You're probably not going to beat this. You have to look for who is the best in what it is you're looking for, and more than likely, they're not going to be in your network. This is an investment as a retirement specialist. This is an investment in your future. Whether or not you are going to be able to have an enjoyable life. And you have to look at it that way. I'm investing in myself right now. I have to take these proper steps so I can get my life back. Because one of the biggest things that we all suffer from with Lyme disease is mourning the loss of our life.
Yeah.
But we're still alive. But we've lost the life we had. And so we are very, it's a horrible thing to live through. And people outside of insect-borne illness or some other morbidly devastating disease, they don't understand the loss of your life.
Yeah.
Even though you're still alive. So I tell everybody, you got to do this not with an aspirin for your migraine. This has got to be with, I need a shot and I got to be in the ER for this migraine now. When it comes to Lyme disease, because if I take an aspirin for my migraine, I know it's going to happen. And if I get what I need for the migraine, well, then I know what's going to happen. If you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So hit it with a mallet. When my wife had breast cancer, we hit it with dose dense chemotherapy. She had no breaks. She had radiation. She did Rife. She did nutritional support. She did all, and all the way through it, her doctors were like, we don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing is remarkable because you are recovering faster than any of our patients.
Wow. Wow.
At the stage that you're at. So, you know, be creative in what you look for, but be mindful of facts, not emotional response.
And so with the, I'm curious, Rife, did you use that for your Lyme as well?
Yes, that's why we had it. I had the old ones that you hooked up to a CB radio, and I had the big tall tube like this on. That's the first one we had. And that was in the house. It was full of the mold, all right? Well, I had a neighbor that lived about 30 foot north of us, and we had it sitting in the corner underneath the kids' bedrooms upstairs. And I would sit across the room from it. I'd make sure I was about 15 feet away because it was that powerful. You could see it run through the television. And you could see it, you know. And my youngest downstairs, she goes walking downstairs, Dad. And she's every time she goes, whoa. She's walking down the steps. And I look at her, and I realized it was every time that tube would do this, cool. Right? And the place that we bought, we didn't think of it, was connected to the bike trails where we're in the area that we live. Our backyard was an acre of trees. Now it was all cleared out, but it's trees, and there was squirrels and ticks and everything out there. And our neighbor lived there for a long time, and I looked down, I was like, you know what, I think that guy's got Lyme, but I didn't say anything to anybody. So finally, after I would use that for about a week or two, I just happened to run into him outside. He goes, Kent, and I always did it at 10 o'clock at night. He goes, have you been noticing something funny about 10 o'clock every night? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, my TV just kind of has this funny look to it. And then I also, he says, and when it's having that funny look, I feel weird. I was bribing my neighbor, and I didn't know. I didn't tell him I was free.
Yeah, yeah, you got free treatments. You probably cured all the squirrels and everyone in your neighborhood.
Wow.
Well, I have a feeling we can talk forever, but I really appreciate you coming on, and I really appreciate are there Facebook groups that you are part of that people can interact with you if they have questions or legislatively, well, or how does that work?
Let me just say this. The most balanced ones for general information where I feel that you're not going to get a lot of groupthink or what I call wolf pack mentality or just a single vertical of treatment is Lyme disease and co-infections. That's exactly what it's called. It's got roughly 20-some thousand members in it. It's very balanced. The admins are terrific. They won't allow somebody to overrun you, et cetera. And that's the one I recommend just as a beginning one. You know, there are some on the Beaner protocol, et cetera. I never use the Beaner or Boehner, however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Boehner.
Yeah, but I prefer Lyme disease and co-infections. It's just a very well-balanced group. Here's what can I just say one last thing to everybody out there who's listening, maybe do this right now. I want you to understand that Kent Larson loves you. I believe in you very much. Deeply. I have been where you are at. I want you to get well. Fact. I'm sorry. I believe in you so much that I just want you to do this. I want you to, at night when you go to bed and you're trying to sleep, I want you to think of the best times in your life. I want you to try to relive them in your brain to convince your brain that those times are going to come back. You're no longer going to be mourning the loss of your life and wishing for the end of the one you have. All right? And I want you to think that I want you to convince yourself you're going to get out of this. I want you to be so convinced in the end result of what you're currently doing and the road you're going down to that you can breathe it, you can smell it, you can wrap your arms around it. And I want you to also to never, ever, ever give up. That's what I've got to say to you. So thank you.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. A perfect way to end. Yeah. That's just fantastic.
Churchill couldn't have said it better.
I'm a big fan.
Well, gosh, Kent, you have given us just tons of great information and knowledge and we just truly, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to go down this little road of journey and memory lane with us. And we're glad that you're doing well. I'm glad that we've connected, and thank you for what you're doing for the Lyme community out there.
Thank you. You too. Both of you, I thank you very much. You're doing wonderful work. God bless you, and you have the best day.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.